This is a podcast about something and sports. First week of college football is behind us, and for one of my two teams and your team, both which have first-year head coaches for that team, was a giant kick in the nuts. And thankfully, TCU didn't embarrass me with Jacksonville State or whoever garbage team they played. But yeah, what happened to your horns there?
It was a carryover from last season, basically, but a new coach. Okay. I mean, everybody was on board. Tom Herman, everybody's like, you know, he's going to turn it around, yada, yada. And as soon as we hired Tom Herman, I was like, it's a great story. You know, he used to be a coach there. He's now back as the head coach. I don't know. I fear the, not that Houston's a smaller school, but, you know, not a power school coach that does good and then makes it to the next level as in a power school. I fear those kind of coaches a little.
Mac went from North Carolina.
I mean, they all come from somewhere. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they all come up the reins or whatever. But not that I'm upset about the hiring. I was just like, okay, it wasn't like, oh, we're going to be the best team ever. It was just kind of like, okay, I mean, cool. We got a coach, you know, whatever. And then to see him play, I was like, it felt like it was the same coach, you know, and nothing against Charlie Strong, but, you know, they didn't produce with the talent they had. And Herman definitely didn't get his guys to produce to their level of what their expectation. I mean, I don't know. I'm rambling on that, but it was pretty bad.
Well, so, I mean, I know for years, a lot of Texas fans wanted to run Mac out because I don't know. I guess people get tired of success. I still don't understand. I mean, if Texas is playing not one of my teams, then I cheer for Texas. And so, and my sister went to the school. So by extension, I'm a Texas fan in law. but like, I remember thinking, oh, I don't think you really want to get rid of Mac. You probably need to hold on to him as long as possible. I think as much as I completely dislike Bob Stoops, I think all the OU fans that wanted to run him out for the last decade were it. I don't need. Oh,
I see. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, I hear you on that. I mean, it was until last year when they actually finally won, not finally, but they, you know, won a bowl game. It seemed like they'd gone like 4 or 5 years without winning one. They wanted to run Stoops out. I'm like, you went 10-1, 10-2, and why do you want to rub Bob Stoops out again?
There's nothing wrong with winning 10 wins in college football every single year.
And Mac kind of got that. Now, towards the end of the years, Mac wasn't, you know, getting 10 wins or whatever. And I think they saw an older coach, probably not. He's a recruiter, not a great coach. And at some point, I think he kind of just mailed it in. Maybe he was like, you know, I got a pretty good gig. Get a recruit, you know, if we win, cool. If we don't, I got a national title, so it doesn't really matter anymore. And that bought him a few more years. I do like to get on social media when I watch the horns, because I like to see what my horn guys say, my two beat writers.
Right.
Because they're sometimes way over the top in joking or whatever, so it kind of gives me giggles when they're losing. But, oh my gosh, Twitter blew up when the horns were losing. I mean, everybody was tweeting about it. You know, like people I follow. And I was just like, I've never seen more hatred in my entire life. I mean, I've never seen it before. I mean, you've seen the hatred for the horns before. Don't get me wrong. But I was like, dude, y'all are acting like we were supposed to win the national title this year. Now, a couple of people did say we'd be in the playoffs or whatever. And I was like, I don't know how you're saying that, but okay, whatever.
Right.
But yeah, it's, it was like, wow. Twitter just went on fire for a good 3 hours. It was kind of funny because I was seeing A&M people say stuff, and I was like, I thought y'all didn't care about the horns anymore, but you know, whatever. That's kind of gives me giggles or whatever. It's like, you left, you don't want to be the little brother, little sister, whatever, but yet you still follow horns more than you follow your own team.
Yeah.
That's my big joke about A&M and my buddies. We all have buddies that went there, and I'm like, if y'all cared about the horns, or actually if you cared about your own team winning as much as you care about the horns losing, you'd probably win more games.
Yeah. Probably wouldn't blow 80-point leads in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And that's, you know what? I was thinking about that. I didn't even know they were on because I watched the horns, and there was after the Alabama game, there was nothing really that appeased me. But I flipped it on and I was like, oh, it's a close game. And I'm like, wait a second. I remember flipping around this and they were like dominating at halftime. And of course, I thought after they lost, I was like, whatever, they lose like they lost or just kind of get beat all day long the way the horns did. And I'm like, that's a toss up, man, because at least A&M looked good for three quarters of a game where Texas didn't look good.
Yeah.
Maybe the two interceptions for touchdowns, or no, block kick for a touchdown, right, or interception for a touchdown. And of course, Texas did their typical, man, we're going to score a touchdown. We got a little bit of momentum. We'll kick off and let Maryland score in three plays. Yeah. And it was like, all right, we're done.
Yeah.
So,
I definitely would rather dominate a portion of the game than it be a dogfight and lose in the end, especially if I'm playing a Division II school at home in Waco, like the way my Bears
Out of all the three losses, I definitely, that's number three, how the way you want to lose. You don't want to lose that way.
Oh my gosh. Just so,
And that's fun to call. I mean, is there any other sport that people get more passionate about than college football?
No.
Without a doubt, right?
Yeah.
No. We've all done it. We've all said things on the social network that we wish we could take back, offended somebody, or just flat out blasted somebody. That's your like good friend. You know, it's kind of like I always say, college football, it turns your friends into enemies, and your enemies basically become the devil.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Yeah. I mean, it's that passionate, and it's great. That's what makes college football great. You know, you have that attachment because, I mean, I didn't go to Texas, obviously, but most of people went there. So they have that passion. It's not like you have that passion in the NFL. It's not like none of us played in the NFL. So you're not gonna have that passion, but you have that passion of wearing school colors, graduating from that school. That totally makes sense or whatever. So yeah, it's fun. I was giggling about all the bashing of Texas, and I was like, oh yeah, pretty much. I mean, what are you going to do? So I just also kept thinking is all you, whatever fans you for, karma, don't forget about karma. Cause the college football karma gods.
Oh yeah.
Live.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all done it again. We've all said something stupid and it's come back to bite us in the butt either that day, 24 hours later, 2 weeks later, get ready to take it.
Since both, like I mentioned, UT and Baylor both have first year coaches with their programs. I know you said you saw just a little bit of the Urban Meyer quote. I think it was from today.
Yeah, I think it was today.
Okay. So I don't know. I'm just going to read it real quick to give some context because I would like to know what you think about it. So here's the quote. So the question was, are you tired of first year coaches complaining about the players that they inherit? And Urban Meyer says it drives him insane. Quote, it's like a new generation of excuse. Herman said, I can't rub pixie dust on this thing. He got a dose of reality. Maryland just scored 51 points on you. So, and what, you know, obviously the article goes on to mention that the four times that Meyer went into a head coaching situation, his teams always improved regardless of the players he inherited, whether it was at Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, or Ohio State. Like they always improve regardless of, yeah.
He's a good coach. I hate when coaches call out other coaches for no reason. I mean, it's not like he played Texas. First off, I'm not an Urban Meyer fan, so I'm trying to be bashing Urban Meyer talk, I guess. Or make it come out like I hate Urban Meyer.
Yeah, he's a very good coach who just seems to be a fraud of a person. But yes, go ahead.
Exactly. I plus one on that. I get it. He was asked about that. Take the higher road. You know, go be like, hey, you know, a new coach, you always have to, you got struggles or whatever. And then if you want to brag about yourself, how you've already done, that's fine. But no reason to, and of course I'm going to defend Tom Herman. Yeah, I can't defend what he said. He probably shouldn't have said it like that. He was trying to say, I get what he was trying to say, but he pointed the finger at the kids for sure, a little. Well, I guess maybe not a little, a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't think he meant it that way, but it came out that way.
Yeah.
Or at least I hope he didn't mean it that way. I haven't heard what his comment is on it or anything. The Twitter guy I follow that's a beat writer, I guess beat writer for the Horns, he's like, hey, Herman must be taking this really hard because he hasn't posted anything on Twitter this week or whatever. So I was like, okay, that's kind of funny. You know? So you got to, it's called football, man. You just got to realize, take the lumps. You got to, maybe 20-year-old Josh isn't laughing at this, you know, 41-year-old, you know, I'm like, hey, it's kind of funny. You know, you got to,
right.
It's like memes. Memes are great. You know, even if they bash your team, you got to laugh at the genius of memes, you know, whether it's whatever side you fall on, memes are funny.
Yeah.
Same kind of deal about college football. You just got to, unless you're Alabama and you're guaranteed to be in the championship every year, you're going to have some lumps along the way in college football. And that's just part of it. So, yeah. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Stress for 3 hours and then go, you're cussing or... because you hate your team for those 3 hours, or you're jumping off the roof because you love your team. It's one or the other. There's no like hidden middle, you know?
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just, it's beautiful frustration, which is a great transition to the Texas Rangers, who are two games out still in the wild card. We're not going to make the playoffs, right? Like we're not.
No, we're not. But it's the typical, as a sports fan, your favorite team, you're like, okay, Elvis is having a massive.
He hit his 20th home run. That's
not like 1 year he hit like his first home run in August or something, like just a few years ago. They're going to wait. I mean, they're not going to waste a Elvis season. If he's hit his pinnacle, then he should do this from here on out. But we already traded our number one pitcher. Beltre's out. Odor has not figured out how to bat higher than 205. I mean, maybe he's at 210. And we got Elvis doing what he is, and everything's just, we're beating the crappy teams. And we beat Houston, but you know, look at how
they're not the same team as they were earlier in the year. Yeah.
They're just trying to coast to the playoffs, which I can't blame them. It's talking about a nut punch is they're going to get within the last week, they're going to get within like a half a game and then lose like five games in a row. And you're just going to go, really?
Oh, like they did that 1 year when all they had to do was win one game against Oakland.
The famous Josh Hamilton pop up where he lost in the sun or whatever.
Yeah. It's going to be, man, I think you make a good point with beating up on the crummy teams. To me, this weekend series, this is,
oh, the Yankees.
I think in these three games, we'll know.
That's true.
Like if they sweep the Yankees, then
I'm full on board. We can do it.
Yes. If we go, I need a sweep. That's what I need.
You need a sweep?
I need a sweep of the Yankees.
I'm okay with 2-1.
Even though not that Cole pitched well last night. He didn't. He got lit up. But we don't have.
Well, he got lit at one inning. I mean, he gave up all 5-1 inning, but
okay.
But at least he was able to go, okay, let's don't do that again.
No. Yeah. I mean, it was like 13 of the last 15 every time, which, yeah. But the blow up inning is what.
Sure.
Cost us.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah. He sucked it up for sure. No doubt. Yeah, man. It's, I would be okay if they went 2-1 against the Yankees, but that one loss can't be like a 10-1 loss or a 8-0 loss. If we could lose like 5-4.
Like last night, what's the difference between a 10-0 or a 5-4 loss?
You beat a team that's going to get the walk or should get the wild card from here on out.
Yeah, they're 2 or 3 games up right now. I mean,
I think that just I'm talking as far as confidence in the team. You know, I mean, a loss is a loss. Don't get me wrong. But I think if you win the first two games and then you lose a 10-1, it kind of brings your like, well, maybe we're not that good kind of deal. But yes, I'm with you. A sweep, I'm fully on board. 2-1, I'm like, okay, you're telling me there's a chance, you know?
I guess the team is playing to win. Like, who's the dude that hit the two pinch hit triples the first time?
I know who you're talking about. Drew Robinson.
It was Moore.
Yeah.
Moore better.
Him, the guy that hit two triples.
The guy that hit two triples. Well, this needs to be said now. We've been talking about it, you know, off recording for a long time now. We're floating all these guys in, so I feel like we're not
Profar.
I feel like we're not really like, oh, this is the team we need in place in order to be able to make the wild card. But I don't know why we're flying all these guys in to see how they are when we Profar. For 5 years I held off people like you telling me that Profar was awesome by like, oh no, I think the guy sucks. And now I'm the guy screaming, We've got to play Profar.
I think that's a control is I skimmed an article and I should have actually paid attention to it, or actually read it, that there's something that they don't want to bring him up because then when they trade him, it's more likely they're gonna trade him this winter.
Oh yeah, that's not the first time I've heard that.
Well, true, but everybody's like,
saying, like the winter before and the winter before and the winter before. Yeah, okay, sorry. Go ahead.
But they were saying if they brought him up, that would be a year of eligibility, and if they don't bring him up, that you would have if they traded him this winter, he would be under control through 2020 for the new team, something along those lines. I didn't really catch that, but I was like, that doesn't make any sense. You usually have to play a lot more games when you're called up or whatever, but. I probably shouldn't even brought that up or whatever because I just skimmed the article.
Okay.
But there was something along those lines.
Like there's some legitimate reason
why. And then I saw, was it Evan Grant maybe? I don't remember who it was. It was a Ranger guy.
Okay.
That said they don't, probably another reason they want to bring him up is he's doing so well. They don't want to bring him up and then him do bad and then his trade value goes right back down. So keep him on the up and up AAA. I'm not
okay.
And he's becoming kind of a cancer, it sounds like, because he's letting everybody know I'm not happy. I want to be playing shortstop for a team starting. We get that. I feel for the guy because he kind of got, I mean, he did to himself when he didn't produce when he was up. But what are you going to do? Where do you put him? Third?
Oh, okay. Hold on. Didn't produce while he was up. I want to make it crystal clear.
Hey, this is your position. Right. I'll give you that. 100%.
Well, and when I saw Rugi at age 10 or whenever they brought him up and Profar at 9, whenever they brought him up, I immediately went to Rugi, who you're right is batting. I mean, I know Rugi's batting whatever it is, 200, 210. But I knew that Rugi was that guy's a second baseman. That guy's our second baseman. I know that. And I've never known that about Profar. And I guess that is why I come back to the fact I want to know if Profar can play Major League Baseball. And my only comeback to your point of, hey, he could have produced when he was up, he was on fire at the beginning of last year, and he went through a slump, not too much unlike Nomar Mazara, was on fire and then went through a slump and now is back to being, I mean, like, I think we all know that Nomar is part of the future here, so I don't understand why we didn't extend the same courtesy to a guy we've been, you know, recruiting since he was 4 years old.
Yeah, Profar definitely got screwed. When they called up Odor, they weren't prepared for him to do what he did. And they were like, you're our second baseman. And then Profar is like, whoa, I know I was hurt, but do I lose position to injury? You know, it's baseball. So, okay, well, Elvis is there. We'll try in the outfield, which was ridiculous. But, you know, they're trying to get a just a player to play on the field or whatever. But yeah, the whole Profar thing is a mess for sure. They just need to trade him and be done with it.
Yeah.
Or bring him up and go, somebody needs to be traded. Either Profar needs to be traded, or you see what you can get for Odor or Elvis. And the,
well, you should be able to get the moon for Elvis right now, but I don't, I don't want to get rid of Elvis.
No, I don't either. But he does have that out clause after next year, I think. So it's kind of like he's going to opt out if he has another season like he did next year.
Absolutely. But
so it may be a thing where we're like, well, crap, maybe we should trade Elvis if we can't re-sign him. Don't get me wrong. I do not want to get rid of Elvis by any means. Maybe. I'm to the point where I'm like, you know what? You take a coin flip with Odor or Profar. You trade one of them this winter, and then the other one's our second baseman.
Well, then I mean, if that's the case, then it's Rugi's our guy. Like, I know what I have with Rugi. I mean, I don't have a 300 hitter, but I think Rugi's, you know, probably ceiling at 270 with 35 bombs from second base. I am totally okay with.
Oh, for sure.
And he's only going to get better in the field.
Yeah. And then you trade Profar, and if he becomes a freaking all-star, you just go, we messed up. It's like baseball. You hit on trades, you miss on trades.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things, man. What are you going to do?
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about something.
The presenting sponsor of Podcast About Something is Major League Roofing. Why trust your home to a company that doesn't have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau or isn't a certified inspector? Go to mlroof.com/podsomething for a free inspection to see if your residential or commercial roof needs any repairs. For every new roof completed through our portal at www.mlroof.com/podsomething, $100 will be donated in your name to the Homes for Our Troops Foundation, which helps our servicemen and women get affordable housing. That's mlroof.com/podsomething.
So Sunday, we went to church, and it was great. Like, I really enjoyed church. But as a kid, there were several times I remember, like, not wanting to go to church.
Oh, for sure.
Like, yeah, I'd rather sleep in or watch cartoons or
just not go to church.
Not go to church. So it got me thinking about places that I don't like to go. And so I was curious, like, is there places you like don't like to go?
Okay. Yes. There's definitely places you don't like to go. Grocery store has got to be up there for me.
You don't like to go to the grocery store?
I don't mind going to the grocery store. I do it a lot. Obviously.
Because you got to eat. Yes.
I just feel overwhelmed. There's so much stuff. And, you know, I like to go. Like, if I go shopping, I know I go right in the store, get what I want, come out, leave.
Okay.
I don't feel like I can do that in the grocery store. I'm getting better being the stay-at-home dad. I'm getting my, you know, figuring out where everything is or whatever. But the grocery store, I guess what the problem of the grocery store is, I go in there and, you know, Shannon gives me a list of buy the X, Y, and Z. And then I go, ooh, that looks good. And it's, you know, something with like 5,000 calories or whatever. So maybe that's part of why I don't go in the grocery store. Okay. I've gotten better when I don't do that as much. Don't get me wrong.
Hold on. So when you say grocery store, do you mean like a grocery store, like a Whole Foods or a Tom Thumb? Okay.
Yes.
Not like a superstore. Like, I can see getting overwhelmed. No. But like
I don't know which one we go to. Marketplace is the one we go to.
Okay.
It's so tight and you turn around and it's always busy.
Right. It's not overwhelming. I mean, like Walmart and Target, those places are gigantic. And so I can see how it would just be too much, but a small place like Market Street, I'm just not connecting with what you're saying.
See, I'd rather go to, it's easier for me to go to Target. It's not like I'd rather go to Target to get my groceries per se. Nothing against Target. I mean, we get like half and half, half Market Street, half Target type of thing. I guess the Market Street, I'm just like overwhelmed because I don't know. I know what to get now, but it's still like, it's a beating. I got to go this and I got to get this. And if I go to a different Market Street, it's set up different. On another hand, set up all your Market Streets the same. Set up all your Sam's the same. Set up all your Targets the same.
That is a good point.
When you go into a store, I want to be able to go, okay, the water's not on the right side at Sam's. At this one, it's on the left or whatever. Set them all up the same.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. You know, you may have a little bit bigger Market Street or whatever, but you can still set it up the same.
Yeah. No, I think you make a very fine point there with that. It's kind of hard to argue that part. Okay, so grocery stores, what?
This one's kind of weird, but it seems like every time I go to the mall, you know, I always park at like a department store.
Okay.
You know, it's easier to get in and out, yeah. Less cars or whatever. And I always seem to walk in the freaking women's lingerie section. So I always feel like a creep walking in and you're like, okay, there's nobody in here and I'm walking out. I was like, I'm just passing through, nothing, not doing anything in here, just passing through. It's always just been kind of odd. For whatever reason, I have figured out to pick the places to park are right at the women's lingerie section.
Why not just park at a different spot when you go back to the Galleria? Maybe not go to whatever it is, the third floor of Nordstrom.
Yeah, but usually the store I need to get to is right by that that entrance.
Okay. I think there's...
Yeah, I guess I could go to the different floor. That would probably... But if I like parking on the second floor, I like parking on the second floor.
Okay. All right. Well, I always seem to magically end up in the lingerie section. And people think it's creepy that I walk around and touch all the lingerie as I'm going to Gadzooks. I don't know. Gadzooks.
Oh my gosh, Gadzooks.
Well, you know, do they? No, there's not Gadzooks anymore, is there?
No, I don't think so. I think all the Gadzooks are gone.
Okay.
Dude, we should bring it back.
The Gadzooks fast forward mix.
Yeah, I was having a hard time thinking of places I hate to be at, but crowded places, just anything with crowd. The worst is, you know, I say crowded places, but my favorite place on earth is opening day. One of the most crowded things you could ever go to.
Right.
But the worst for crowded places is a crowded parking lot. When you're trying to leave, either get into a parking place or leave.
While you're in your car or walking? Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. While you're in your car or whatever. I just always fear the little kid running out or whatever. Or I fear, I'm going to pull in and then I don't see somebody that I didn't realize they had. Because you're coming like around a corner and you realize they have a spot. And we all know, heaven forbid, you don't get a parking spot nowadays.
Right.
That's just kind of one of those things where I drive a bigger truck or, you know, 150. So I'll park out a little ways from people. Just one, just so I don't get the dents. And two, I'm not trying to cram a big truck into a small parking place or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Man, I'm deathly afraid of hitting the little kid that darts.
It scares me every time I go to a Ranger game or something, because they're always just parents. Just, man, maybe I'm over parenting by Trinity Hope. Of course, she's 2.5 or whatever. But I'll see 6, 7, 8-year-old kids just dart through the parking lot. And I'm like, parents, come on.
Well, I mean, maybe we are oversimplifying by blaming the parents, but because you see little kids just struggle to get away from their parents all the time. And
it's not always the parents' fault.
That is a big phobia of mine, is that I'm going to accidentally, you know, at even at 5 miles an hour, just,
Yeah. I mean, exactly. You're going, and Shanna hates it, but if I see somebody speeding in a parking lot, I'll yell at them, slow down.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. I'm just like, slow down.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Even in our parking lot when I was at work, we had a couple people that I'm like, slow down. You know, my buddies are like looking at me like, really? And I'm like, yeah. I know where it's a work garage, but we're connected to all these different shopping centers or whatever. So there could be a mom pulling in with her kid or whatever, and somebody thinking, hey, I got here to work early. They're not expecting the soccer mom with her kids running around or whatever. And it's just, dude, we're, as a society, we're all hurry. Another place I don't like to be at is Oklahoma one. Is that okay? Oklahoma.
I mean, it's hard to argue that. Yeah. Oklahoma.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I can't think of anything else. I'm drawing a blank. The crowded places is big because I've never been a big, I mean, I like being around people, but crowded places, of course, I like going to concerts. I like going to the Ranger games. It's not that big a deal if I'm comfortable there. It's more of the crowded place where I've never been before.
Okay.
And that, And so you get a little anxiety of, maybe not anxiety, but you're just like, okay, I just don't feel comfortable. There's a bunch of people around. As long, I mean, if you're with buddies, no big deal, but not that I go out to crowded places by myself, but the occasional, you know, like, oh, I need to go get Trinity something for Christmas. I just thought about something. I'll run up to the mall and you pull in the mall parking lot and you're like, oh no, this ain't happening.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Oh, but yeah. You know, you have to get it.
Right.
And, you know, I've gotten better doing, obviously the online shopping is the way to go. And then, but you know, there's a couple things you can't get online, or, you know, somebody said, hey, it's cheaper here or something like that. But yeah, parking lots, crowded places, the women's section. Yourself, where are the places you do not like to be at?
So yeah, I've got a few. The first is hospitals.
Ooh,
so
good one.
I it seems normal to me, but when I say it out loud, I'm going to get your reaction to see if this is normal. Like, I have personally no problem being in funeral homes or in graveyards or anything having to do with death. I'm actually pretty okay with. Like, I feel like I have a pretty good view of death.
Okay.
But sickness, I hate being in hospitals. Like, just, yeah, I would much rather be in a morgue than in a hospital.
Okay. I'm definitely not with you on that. Let's just go there. Death is my kryptonite.
Okay.
I don't want to see somebody in, I mean, it's not a disrespectful thing, but I want to see somebody their last moment in a casket. I just can't do that. That's not for me.
Yeah.
Hospitals, yes. Going to the doctor, going to the hospital. It seems like every time, you know, you're doing something, you're like, hey, maybe you should go to the emergency room or you should go to the doctor. They're going to find something wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying that as in, oh, doctors find something wrong like that. There's always, usually if you're having to go, there's something wrong
yeah.
or whatever. You know, you broke this or you need stitches and that's just not fun.
Yeah.
You know, I will put it off. Anything not to go to the doctor.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not just, well, I mean.
Or the hospital.
Right. And that's the thing. It's not just me going for myself. Like, I don't like visiting people that are sick in the hospital.
It's the worst moment.
I mean, it's just, yeah. And what didn't help. So I've got this, you know, obviously I don't like the idea of sickness and I have been fortunate not to be like an overly sickly person. But I remember being a kid and going and needing blood drawn. And I think this is probably what put me over the edge, even at a young age, is the nurse came up and, you know, all I knew from going to the doctor is you get shots. And so she's like, oh, I'm not going to give you shots. Like, that put me a little bit at ease. Okay, no shot. And then she took think like a razor blade. And I'm, I don't know, 5, 6 years old. And she hands it to me. Where I can put it in my fingers. She's like, do you feel that? I'm like, yeah. She's like, it's pretty sharp, isn't it? I'm like, yeah. She's like, okay. And she just takes it and then jabs it in my finger. Like just pow. And it didn't hurt just because I was so stunned by the fact that this.
She went with a startled, just stunned.
Jabbed me with a sharp object. And it's like, okay, well, you medical people, I'm never going to trust you guys again. Like, this is clearly the way you operate. So yeah. That's just,
I can see that. See, shots were never a big issue for me because when I was probably about that age, I started with allergy shots because I had bad allergies.
That's right. That's right.
So shots have never, like, anytime I have to get blood, I'm like looking at the lady. I think the nurses are kind of like, okay, that's kind of weird. The guy's actually watching me do it. Usually people turn away or whatever. I'm like, no, I'm cool. It's cool to watch, you know? I mean,
oh, yeah.
It's kind of interesting. You know, everybody has their little technique or whatever. And
no. So I am the exact same way in draw. So what's the blood donation?
Oh, I think it is
Carter.
Carter.
Whatever. Buses.
Yes.
Usually getting a bus. Okay. I have zero problem with that. And just like you, I will sit there and watch them jab me. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. This is fine. But then if we remove the bus and stick me in a hospital with that same thing, I'm like freaking out.
Yeah,
so,
I'm with you. There's nothing. It seems like nothing good comes out of the hospital because you're there for injury, sickness, death. whatever. It's unfortunately, and more power to all the people that work in hospitals, man. They got a calling for sure.
Okay, another one. A like low rundown dollar maybe movie theater. Those places are so gross.
But you don't like walking and sticking to the floor?
It's not, and that's the thing. It's not even just sticking to the floor because I'm obviously wearing shoes whenever that happens.
Sure.
But I just, I know that if I lean back my head, I'm going to get head lice. Like, it's just, it's going to happen. Like, there's no way to avoid. And then, I don't know if you remember the I assume it was Urban Legend. I should have probably Googled to make sure this didn't really happen. But when, I want to say we were probably high school or college, the Urban Legend of somebody sticking needles in the theater.
The chairs. Chair.
Yes. And it's, and with a little note that says, oh, you just got AIDS.
Yeah, that's got it. What? Okay, now I'm hoping that was an Urban Legend that you brought that up, because I obviously had blocked that out.
And I mean, that's the dumbest thing ever. Yeah. Like, nobody's going to spend the time to put AIDS on, you know, and then, yeah, that's just.
Yeah, we got better things to HIV, do.
Yeah, right. But still, it's just, yeah, it's so.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you the last time I went to a dollar theater. But yes, I do remember going to a dollar theater in the past and just going, never again.
Yeah.
Never again. And then you go again, you're like, okay, this never, yeah, never again. This is the, I'm out. No, well, can't do it.
Especially now that they're, the difference between a high end, you know, Look or Alamo Drafthouse or, you know, one of those places that's just, the movie experience is fantastic.
Sure.
Versus, and man, it has to be, I don't know, 10 years since the last time I went to a really low rent movie theater, but I still drive by them. I know they still exist.
Yep.
And there's no way I'm going.
I think
there.
The way they stay in business is during the day, you know, people take their kids that are not school age yet and maybe see movies. Cause do people still go? I mean, are they packed at like on a Friday, Saturday night?
I can't imagine. I
would think that's the kind of like Saturday afternoon movie.
Maybe people take their kids. I assumed it was basically like you can pay a dollar instead of getting a room with like a prostitute or something. Like, I think
you may be onto something there.
That's how they stay in business. It's basically a brothel that shows a movie in the background. The last one I've got is, and I think this is controversial.
All right. Do tell.
Public parks.
I thought about a public park. It's funny you say that. I thought about that. And I was okay. Like, public park is, I mean, it is a place, but I'm like, I don't ever feel uneasy there, but I'm like, it is a little creepy if you're there at night.
Well, and I know they serve a great purpose in society and all that, but, I really find no good value in public park, because if, you know, when the girls were smaller, we took them there. And I mean, like, you're constantly basically having to follow them around because you're afraid somebody's going to nab them.
Sure.
Or if they don't get nabbed, you're disinfecting them more than they're actually on.
And when you said park, I'm thinking maybe we're on the same page, maybe we're not. Park as in camping. Like a national, like I was like, I will never want to go camping.
Oh, yeah. No, that was just, that wasn't even on my radar system of doing this camping thing you're referring to. That's so beyond.
You're just regular park.
I'm just like an actual public, like one that's down the street, a public park. So yeah, the kids thing was never stable, but then, I don't remember how long ago it was, but, Holly and I like had a date, like in the movies where you go and you put the blanket down, mm-hmm. and I can't remember if we had like a bottle of wine, but I know we had like a book of poetry, and we're just gonna sit there under a tree in the breeze, and so no, there were insects, and then random dogs would run up, and there was nothing romantic about
pretty
it.
Much a park is a free for all nowadays.
Right. It was just, yeah, there was nothing good about that experience. So if it's not good for my kids and it's not good, you know, I have no use for them.
No, I'm not disagreeing. Yeah. I was more in the camping park, but yes, the few times I've taken Trinity to a park, it's been during the day. So there's usually a ghost town. So you're not during the week or whatever.
Yeah.
But even then I'm like, one, I'm watching her cause she's 2.5 and she's going to fall or whatever. She can't go up on the big stuff or whatever without somebody being there. But yeah, I'm watching her like a hawk just cause I mean, there's an open area and somebody drives up, pulls up and is ready to try to take your kid or just maybe not even take your kid, just see somebody out and wants to cause trouble. It's just, it does feel like a free for all. Like if you want to live on the edge, go to a park. I mean, it does kind of feel that way sometimes.
Yeah.